Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with me, Gary Brennan, in for Niall all week. Now, my guest tonight was once branded the luckiest mum in the UK by the Daily Mail, having won more than £30,000 by entering competitions in just 2 years. I don't have any luck. I buy scratch cards all the time and they get me nowhere. But Katie Spence also appeared on Come Dine With Me and gets inundated with questions about her time on the show. I'm not surprised at all. It's an absolutely cracking show. You're very welcome to the show, Katie. Now, are you there? Katie?
I am here. Hi, good evening.
Oh, Katie, you're very welcome to Nighttime Talk.
Can you hear me?
I'm Gary.
I'm good, yourself? It's lovely to meet you, Gary. Hi there.
Oh, great. Listen, it's great to have you on the show. Now, I've got so many questions for you because two things are so fascinating about this. The luckiest mum in the UK, and you were on Come Dine With Me. So I can't wait to talk to you because A, I'd love to be lucky, and B, I'd love to go on Come Dine With Me. I'm going to start with Come Dine With Me. But the most important question, did you win?
First question is, that's the first favourite. No, I didn't, but it wasn't for want of trying. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It's kind of engineered. They knew who they wanted to win. And from my first start, I was like, there's no chance I'm going to win. I came second to last, but it was a joint winner my week and very well deserved. It was such a good fun to do. But no, I didn't win. I wanted to win. And I think they knew because I was competitive. I had come in. In fact, one of my recipes was a competition win that I'd had years previously that I'd won money for as well. So I came in knowing I was competitive. I think they kind of pegged me as the girl who wasn't going to win because it kind of fed their storyline. So no, unfortunately, I didn't.
So what you're saying to me, Katie, is that there's a little bit of, you know, magic that goes on in behind the scenes. It's not exactly what you see.
It's very, very different. I was a massive Come Dine fan as well, Gary, before. It was one of those things that you put on Facebook, you know, what would they cook if you went on Come Dine With Me? Like, does anybody know? And I always knew what I would cook. So when I saw I wanted to do it, I was like, oh my gosh, for sure. Like, I applied, I knew what I wanted to do. But it was a completely different experience. They kind of know what they want to do. The production crew are the same production crew from The Only Way Is Essex, the same producers, the same cameramen. So that gives you an idea of what level of reality TV you're looking at.
So it's affected reality in a sense. I mean, a lot of the reality programmes we watch are, some of them are even scripted.
It's reality TV, yeah.
And did the best person win in the end, in your
opinion? It wasn't scripted. It was, I would call it engineered reality.
Okay, engineered.
Say that again?
Did the best person win in the end?
Yeah, so my personal favourite, there were two joint winners, but there was a lady called Sylvia, and she was a Polish lady with a German husband, a South African husband who lived in Germany. So her cuisine was all across all of the cultures she'd lived in, and it was, to this day, it's one of my favourite meals I've ever eaten.
And when they're setting this up, I mean, I often would start watching Come Dine With Me just by accident. And then I watch the first episode and I'm like, oh, that's brilliant. And the way they do it is very clever because then you have to keep watching it all week because you want to see what happens next and the day after that. And then, of course, you have to stick around to watch the final episode to find out who won it. But, like, yeah. Talk us through, like, a typical day on the shoot for Come Dine With Me. Say, talk us through the day they came to your house. What happened?
So my day, so it was actually a 6-day shoot. You start on a Sunday with the Monday's menus, and then from then every day you do your menus. We didn't get back until from night one. I didn't walk through the door until 1:30 in the morning. And then the crew were at my front door for 7 a.m.
Wow.
They were in my house until 3 a.m. the next day. So almost 24 hours of filming. So you have two crews. You have a day crew, which comes in and does all the cooking, and then you have a night crew that comes in and does all the dinner, and they swap. So while one of them are out doing the menus and doing the B-roll footage, there's another crew that are doing the filming. So there's people in and out of your house all day long for nearly 24 hours. And no, they don't do your pots. That's one thing I get asked a lot. All left with all those dishes.
And did everyone get on? The crew you were with, did everybody get on or did you have to engineer, I suppose, an argument?
Yeah, there was. So it was an interesting mix. There was four women from very different backgrounds and one guy, bless his heart. And I think, again, they did that with very polling opinions. You had one lady who was real earth mother, very natural, and then had one of my other friends who was a game hunter. So it was a very polarizing. They did it intentionally. You kind of see when you meet each other that they've done a lot of profiling on you to understand who you are as a person to kind of meet your psychological match. It's not by accident. When they put these contestants together, they're looking for people who will maybe clash, who maybe will have a polarizing opinions. We did have an incredible laugh, though. We just giggled our way through the week. It was such fun.
And I'm a finicky eater, Katie. So I'd be pretty particular about where I eat and the cleanliness of places. So if I go into houses, I have a quick scan, you know, so I can enjoy my meal. And I go to a lot of my friends' places for dinner and I know they're clean and everything and I enjoy the meal. But there's some houses I don't want to eat in. Was there any of that week?
No, it was lovely. There was lots of kind of fear because you know they're going to kind of pick at the smallest things. And I have cats. So I was petrified that my cats were going to come in or try and climb on this couch, like climb up and then they're going to catch it. But I was genuinely petrified that would happen. So like I hid them for days. I was like, please don't. Like all these cats would like run in and like throw itself on the side. But no, it was fine. Like my fellow contestants were absolutely lovely. Wonderful homes, great entertainment. It was just a really bizarre experience because then you don't know these people. You don't know what their homes are like. It was interesting to go into someone's house and do that.
And did they tell you what to cook or can you put your own menu together? I mean, you mentioned you cooked your favourite dish. Tell us about your menu.
No, it's completely my menu. So yeah, so my menu, I am not a sweet person, but I like to think I can bake and I can't bake. And I'd seen a recipe on MasterChef Australia with like a bitter chocolate tart. I was like, I'm going to do that one day. So that I had this battle plan to do it. My starter was, in fact, I'd won $8,500 for this recipe a year previously. It was a savoury profiterole with like a cream cheese, chili cheese in the centre with my homemade chutney. But they called them my prize-winning profiteroles. So obviously that got the contestants going, well, they better be good then. They all loved them. And then I did my favourite chicken dish for my main, which did not go to plan. Again, a lot of it is very engineered, and when you kind of get into filming you realize that you can't cook how you would cook at home. You're cooking for the cameras, and so what you would do at home to correct your mistakes or, you know, mess around at the last minute, you can't do it. So when you've cooked something at 4 o'clock and you're not serving it till 8 o'clock, it was beautiful chicken and a cream sauce dish, the sauce had gone thick and I wasn't allowed to retouch it. So I was irked because I knew that if I'd had friends over it would be a different dish. So yeah, the same profiteroles, a chicken and veg and a chocolate tart. And then annoyingly, and obviously they've done it, when she read my menu, I don't like chocolate. And I said something like, everybody likes chocolate. Who doesn't like chocolate? Chocolate's a crowd pleaser. But to her, I hate chocolate. So they knew what they were doing. So I had chocolate haters for chocolate pudding. So I was set to fail.
It was all done on purpose. I've watched it sometimes, and one house will do like they'll do like an oxtail soup, a Thai red curry, and you know, custard for dessert. And then the next house will be fillet steak and scallops and oysters. And I always wonder to myself, are they buying the food? Like, do they personally pay for the food, or do the producers and the Channel 4 people, do they give a budget for the food each day, or is it up to you? Is it out of your own pocket?
You're given a budget. So you're given, I think it's something like, I found my receipt not long ago in one of my bags. I think it was something like £250, but that's for everything. So that's all the food. And if you want to practice before that, if you need new plates, new cutlery, glassware, it's kind of customary on the show to bring a gift to every single night. So that covered all my expenses, and it did not touch the sides. Because you only get one chance to do this, and you don't want to just... I got a lot of flack on TikTok when I said this. They're like, oh my gosh, you know, I could cook for 2 weeks. I'm like, but you do want to practice. You don't want to just bung any old thing on the table. You do want to get it right because you are on national TV. So yeah, $250 is what they give you as your expenses, and that is it. And you can spend all of it, none of it, some of it, or go completely over the top.
And the scoring, Katie, at the end, I often find when somebody does a really cracking dinner and you go, that looks good, that'll get a high score, there's always someone that goes, I'm going to give them a 5. And, you know, you go, that's not fair. Is there tactical scoring involved?
There's a massive competitive element. When I came home and told my partner what I'd vote you when you're not going to win. He said, you're being too nice. I said, you're thinking, well, they're going to be tactical. Why are you being so? Because that's who I am. I'm just like, and I think I said again, I like to be liked, and I'm just, I want everyone to get on. So they, again, placed with contestants who were a bit more tactical and clever about what they did. And also, and this shocks people, the production crew do kind of ask people to consider their vote based on certain things. And I didn't know until a year later, the three or four girls went out for dinner together 12 months after we filmed it, because it didn't air for 12 months, that two of the contestants were asked to give two different votes on one contestant in one night. So they used the vote that suited. And that was, we were all like, gobsmacked, sat around the table having this dinner going, what? So everything is not what you see. They also ask you to vote with and without entertainment. And if they cut the entertainment, you don't see what that leads into the score as well. So there's a lot of play that you don't see on the final product.
And you knew that going into it, didn't you? You understood that.
No, I had no idea.
Oh, you
no,
didn't.
You really don't. They were nice enough that they said, no, they very much said to us that they were trying to get away from it being silly and they wanted it to be a light entertainment cooking show. That was the goal. And there was a very, I do not want to be like stupid. Please don't, you know, not here to be humiliated on national television. I didn't sign up. I'm not here to be famous. I just always wanted to go on the show. And it only became a day in that we all kind of realised that we were a little bit, in the nicest possible way, we were reality TV puppets. And we had a laugh with it, but it wasn't until you get into the bones of what's going on. We weren't allowed to talk off camera, like even to get to know each other. They were like, save it for the cameras. Even on the last night when we all turned up and we'd all been and done things and got to know each other, we weren't even allowed to talk outside. So getting into the process and really seeing, it's the same with any reality TV. It's completely different once you get inside. But no, I had no idea. I genuinely went into it thinking it was going to be a lighthearted cooking show. And it was so much more than that.
And is the money at the end of the week real? Does the winner actually get money?
Yes, yes, yes. A real £1,000 in 20s under a cloche that's delivered in the grand reveal. In fact, so my week, we had two winners. They split it £500 each and they got their £500 cash and then we all packed up and went home. That's real money. It's given to them on the night and that's the last of experience. Once it's done, they give you the money and that's the end of the show and everyone goes home.
And did you stay in touch with any of them, Katie? Did you make any friends on it?
Yeah. Yeah, I stayed in touch with all of them. We all live in a small town and it's actually surprising that none of us knew each other beforehand. When we spoke to the production, they said we were sure that you were going to come across each other eventually, that somebody would have known you or somebody else would have been some kind of connection. They were really surprised that we hadn't kind of met. But yeah, we've all stayed in touch over the years, stayed really good friends.
That's brilliant. I mean, I love to hear that because I've watched it so many times and you always get a good one where none of them get on and it's hilarious. But like the nice ones are nice too when they do actually get on. It's a good
week of
television.
So we did have some stuff. Yeah, we did have some fracas, but again, it was all set up to kind of create the entertainment. It was one of my fellow contestants, Carolyn, and I think she's been deemed as one of the most hated contestants on this show. And it wasn't until about day three, and she said something really innocuous, like, it's only a game show, like, we just play a part, that she'd kind of been egged to overact herself, like to extravagate her personality a little bit. She's very, very well spoken. She's very intelligent. She's a beautiful woman. And she's quite opinionated. And I love that. That's why we stay friends. But she's kind of been egged to enhance that personality. Three, we had a little chat quietly. And I think she realised that she was the only one that had been asked to do that. So she kind of got painted as this very hard to please. And she gets some really awful messages now. It's kind of horrible. When it comes up on my Facebook, they play our episodes so often. Someone will tag me and say, oh my gosh, Katie, you're on Facebook, on telly again. And some of the first comment is always, I didn't like that, Carolyn. I mean, Carolyn replies, hi, every time I have to explain to people, do you know what? It's way more than you see it. She didn't come in bolshy. She's, again, one of the smartest, brilliant women I know. She's just fantastic. She was kind of egged up to play a bit of the panto villain. I don't think she realised that she was the only one that was kind of put in that position. So it's more of the storyline the show wants to tell more than just unpleasant people, I think, in the most part.
Yeah, it's like all reality TV, isn't it? I think most people are clued in now. I mean, it's 20-odd years since reality TV really took off. And I think the audience are in on the, you know, the nod and the wink of the whole thing. I'm curious, would you do it again?
I would, yeah. And I know I'd do it very, very differently.
What would you do differently?
I'd play the game this time. If I was got back to do it again, I'd know how to play. I'd plan my food better. I'd practice my food better. I would find something that, entertainment wise, is completely out of the box. The guy that came join first, he got a live band to come and play in his garden. It's absolutely amazing. And then they got us in a hot tub, which we didn't want to do, but we did. But I think I'd be more tactical with my voting. Instead of just going there with this, I'm here to make friends and sort of review it and give it a review based on actually how I thought. Be a little bit smart about maybe downvoting high contestants, which sounds manipulative, but I think that's how people win that game.
Yeah, listen, that's what it's all about, winning, isn't it? Especially when you get your hands on that £1,000. But I want to ask you about something else now. That was fascinating. I love that because I do watch Come Dine With Me. I've sat there so many times. I used to series record it, and then I'd go down a rabbit hole, and I'd be all over the UK looking at all sorts of people cooking all sorts of things. And before you know it, you're like 4 hours. You're like, what am I doing? But I want to ask you about this.
Yeah,
luckiest
it's
moment
good binge TV.
It's binge TV. You're the luckiest mom in the UK, and you've written a free side hustle secrets guide that covers competitions.
I was.
Tell me about that. It's fascinating.
Yes. Yes, I have. So I got into competitions when my boys were small. Now they're 14, 18 now, so they're a lot older. And it was, you know, bedtime. Everyone was in bed. Bathroom, I sat on my own. My husband was building a business. I was alone a lot. And I worked for a pushchair review website, and it was part of the competitions, and I saw these same names. So I started seeing these girls on Twitter and talking to them. I found this whole community of people that were kind of semi-professional competition people. And the best person, if you're looking to do this, the best person is Di Coke in the UK. She's super lucky, Di. She is incredible. She got me into it. And it's where you can either buy creative, by making videos, photographs, captions, tiebreakers, even just form filling or quiz answering. There is thousands of competitions in the UK at any given time, and so I started off with no sense of what it was going to do, and within months I started winning things, and within 6 months I'd won a considerable amount. Say I won in just 1 year there were £20,000 cash. This was back in 2014. Yeah, £20,000 cash. I won ITV's Real Deal. I didn't even pay to enter it with a free text, and then I won £8,500 with the Longcross and Dairy, which is the cooking competition that I said as well. And we had things from, my last day of Come Dine With Me, I had to turn up late because I'd won a private tour of the Formula One Red Bull factory, things like that, front row, fashion week. I love doing creative competitions. I love doing videos, and they were where I had my best wins. But yeah, over 2 years, it was in excess of £30,000 of goods and cash I won.
That's incredible, Katie. And would you say there's a science to winning, or are you just lucky? Some people are born lucky, they say.
It's a number, and I've said this when I've been asked, right, it's a numbers game. With competitions, there's always so much energy. The harder they are to enter, the easier to win. So if you are creative, you are good at videos, you're good at photographs, good at words, those competitions get far less entries. I once won a BAFTA goodie bag that the celebrities got, including a dinner and a hotel, had 21 entries. Things like that, when the form filling is just a numbers game. It's the same as if you buy 99 tickets in a raffle. If you've got the time to sit and you're willing to spend that time, you don't know what you can win. I've had some incredible things. One of my funnest wins, Ruth Langsford from Morning TV, she got in a paddling pool for me on a live stream sponsored by Barclaycard, and she scrambled around to win me my Christmas. That was my favourite prize.
What a prize. What a prize.
True story. On hands and knees and everything. She cheated massively. She was incredible. But yeah, it was like a hosted Barclaycard Christmas, pre-Christmas campaign. And I was picked to do it. And all the celebrities had like a celebrity guest host. And they would win for a caller. And it was gift vouchers and prizes Christmas. And she was like, she basically was going to cheat because we were the last one. And so the video's gone from YouTube now, and it's so sad. But she was scrabbling around on her hands and knees like an absolute queen to win me my Christmas. Absolutely fantastic.
Fair play to her. You must be a big fan of Ruth Langsford now.
forever and always, yes.
Katie, I want to ask you, because that goes to my next question. I often see competitions on television, you know, text this number with your answer on like soft drinks. They do lots of promotions. And I've often said to myself, and it goes to what you just said, I've said, oh, look, is there any point? You know, everyone's going to be entering this. I don't have a chance of winning this. But what you're saying is that everyone probably thinks like I do, which means not enough people are entering.
Oh, absolutely. Because people think like you. Yes. Which means people don't enter. There's forums and chats and people will share all these credit by purchase necessary. Tesco's has, in the UK, has a weekly text competition. And they're just for free and they're in-store and people don't see them. I think in 1 year I won 3 of them. Like I said, the creative ones are the best ones. They're the ones where you've got less entries. But, you know, send a text, fill a form in, keep a receipt. Somebody has to win them. And I said, I won an ITV one, and that was one that people go, nobody wins those. And I didn't pay, I didn't do the premium number, I did a free text, and I had a phone call one day to say I'd won like £12,500. It's mind-blowing. People still now don't believe you can do it. And then I have friends and people I don't know. I met a girl on TikTok, and after I did a video series of a year on this, and she texted me to tell me that she'd won a trip to the Maldives after seeing my TikTok.
That's pretty good.
So I was very happy with that.
That's pretty good. Katie, do you play the lottery?
Amazing. I do play the lottery. No big wins yet, but for me, it's the creative ones. I like to do the ones where you can put a bit of mind in. One of my favourite wins with my creative was Anton Deck Saturday Night Takeaway. In 2018, we were on Place on the Plane, and I won that with a tiebreaker. So being able to be a bit smart with my words and have a bit of fun with it, and they're the ones that I really, really enjoy doing. I like to be ones where I can be in control and submit an entry rather than just luck. They're more fun to enter and they make the hobby more exciting as well.
A lot of people listening in here, Katie, and you've probably been asked this an awful lot on social media because you got a huge presence on that, and I'm going to give your handle out before I let you go tonight, but I'm curious about this one. A lot of people would say that you manifest these wins, that people believe in manifestation, they believe in positive attitude, and that they can visualise themselves winning competitions.
I do, yes.
And then they do. What do you make of that idea?
I love manifestation. I absolutely believe in it. In fact, every year I have put something on my vision board, which I have on my phone, something comes off it every single year. So in the year I put the castle from Disney World, that was the year I won it. And I think I'd said something on Facebook like, this is the year I think I need to go to America. And so I'm a big believer in kind of what you think about, you bring about massively. But it does take action as well. You can't just sit, and when people say, oh, I haven't won anything, I entered 2 competitions, or like, it does take time, and you've got to kind of, with anything, you've got to be committed to it. I think you've got a positive attitude. I used to joke that I can win anything, and I would go to a raffle and be like, I'm winning that. And I would genuinely win the prize that I wanted to win. And it was like, of course you've won it, Katie. And that's a running joke. When I tell people I've won, of course you did, mate, because it's just who you are. So, yeah, I massively believe if you've got a positive attitude, people who say they don't win, that's my belief.
It's funny, it reminds me of an old joke where a guy sits in the church every day praying that he'll win the lotto. And then he does this for years. And one day he's sitting there and he says, please, God, help me win the lotto. Why haven't I won the lotto? And God appears and he said, listen, meet me halfway and buy a ticket.
See, I like luck. So with competitions, you can have some real fun with it. I mean, as well, for especially if you've got a young family, getting the kids in the videos if they want to take part. The fun that me and my boys had growing up with editing and filming videos and recording silly things. One video, my son, my youngest son, Cole, who's now 14, we did a pancake day competition, and he was dressed as Superman because he loved costumes. And we threw the pancake in the air, and he was like, don't worry, I will save it. And it was such a basic video back on a really old rubbish iPhone, like iPhone 3 or whatever it was. I think that won me like 7 or 8 pancake day competitions, but I've still got that video. And so years later, he looks back on all the videos that I've got on YouTube and all these things that I've kept and saved. And he's like, oh, they were so much fun. So it's not just the winning as well, it's the memories that you can make having the fun creating the competitions as well. They're sometimes even more fun.
Well, there you go, Katie. You said it well there. There's nothing better than winning in the end. And I really appreciate you coming on and chatting to us tonight about your experience on Come Dine With Me and your experience winning all those competitions. Keep winning, will
you? It's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Katie. Good night to you. Thanks for joining us. There you go. If you want to follow Katie, you can get her on Instagram on Katie Spence IG on Insta and Katie Spence on TikTok. Follow her there and get some inspiration. You might win something yourself. Well, do you know what I've won? I've won my bed. And I want to thank everybody for calling in tonight to Night Time Talk. I'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again. But for now, it's good night from me. Sleep tight.
Now, real people, real opinions. Night Time Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.